morning, Your Honors. James Lassar, representing Jefferson Morley. At issue in this Freedom of Information Act case is whether the district court abused its discretion in denying Morley's motion for an award of attorney's fees and costs. That issue is governed by four criteria. This court in the Davey case noted that the first three criteria attempt to distinguish those who seek to gain information for public purposes and those who seek it for private purposes. This case began with a Freedom of Information Act request for records on CIA case officer George Ioannidis in 2003. In the CIA did not respond to that request. Initially, it then attempted to slough it off on the National Archives. We filed suit, and 6 years later, the New York Times broke a front page story in which it described the accomplishments of the suit, the new information that had been released. The story was accompanied in the online edition with a photograph of Ioannidis, which had been obtained by Mr. Morley, and that in a flash destroyed 50 years of secrecy and began to open the public up to evaluation and analysis of his career. Another important document that was obtained was the Career Intelligence Medal, which Ioannidis was awarded in 1981. And the district court, in minimizing the public importance of that document, of its contribution to the public benefit, indicated that it was neither new nor important nor related to the JFK assassination. The district court was wrong on all three counts. If you have your appendix in front of you, you might turn to page 599, which reproduces the career intelligence document award. And it, the second sentence of it says, during that period, that being the period between 1950 and 1978 when Ioannidis was a CIA officer, during that period, he served in diverse assignments of increasing responsibility at headquarters, the domestic field, and overseas. Now, this is new information. It's important information. Contrary to the district court's attempt to say that this simply related to Ioannidis' career, entire career, not to the parts of it that had to do with the Kennedy assassination controversy. The fact is it was new, it did deal with the JFK assassination controversy. It mentions the domestic field. Ioannidis' only assignment in the domestic field was at Miami, where he was the case officer for the DRE, a Cuban exile organization that had extensive contacts with Lee Harvey Oswald prior to the assassination.
I'm sorry,
and,
says,
yes.
I'm just reading it. We called our attention to this. At headquarters, the domestic field, and overseas, and they don't seem to be ranked.
Pardon?
They seem to cover the waterfront, and they don't seem to be ranked.
It says increasing responsibility, and it mentions the headquarters period. And at headquarters and is where Ioannidis served in 1978 when he was the liaison with the House Select Committee on Assassinations and misled that organization. That's the period of increasing responsibility. So it is a...
I guess I would have thought increasing responsibility suggested a linear increase, period, full stop. But.
Well, it would seem logical that it would suggest that as the career progressed, the responsibility increased.
Very commonly the case.
And that is when he served in the position as liaison in an undercover capacity, and that's one of the important things that was uncovered as a result of this litigation. He was working in an undercover capacity as liaison to Congress. He had been case officer of the DRE. He knew about its activities and its connections to Oswald, but he did not disclose that to the House Select Committee on Assassinations. The Professor G. Robert Blakey, who was the director of that committee, has charged in an affidavit filed in this case that that was both a violation of the criminal statute and a violation of the Memorandum of Understanding with Congress. An agency is under an obligation not to impede the oversight investigations of a committee of Congress. The CIA violated that, and now in this document they have approved that conduct. So again, this goes to the fundamental errors that the district court committed right off the bat. This is new information, it's important information, and it relates to the JFK assassination.
Are you implicitly dropping any access to these documents without going to NARA in the public interest, materially in the public interest?
I'm not dropping that. No, that material was in the public interest.
It was available.
Pardon?
And it was available.
They're more
available to the public at NARA than in Mr. Morley's files.
No, that's not true. In a technical sense, the information was available at NARA. But
what do you mean by technical sense?
I mean that to actually get copies of it, you would have to go through a series of hurdles. Mm-hmm. The first is you can't get it online, as the CIA suggested in its brief, because all you get online is a RIF sheet. You don't get the copy of the document. If you want
you can actually go out there to
You can, but of course most people in the country cannot go out there. It's expensive to do so. It's expensive to get copies there. And the search mechanism is not the same as the CIA. The NARA...
Better or worse?
NARA is worse. You can't... that is proven by this case, because the CIA actually... coughed up more documents related to the JFK assassination than you would get by going online to NARA and doing its search. So that the other thing is the district court...
All the material at NARA is also online?
Pardon?
You're saying that all the indexing material at NARA is also online?
The index...
I didn't think that was the case.
No, there is a...
So you can go out there and you can go through the various indexing volumes, right?
Yes, you locate it yourself, which The FOIA requires the agency to do the search.
I understand that. But in terms of making things available to the public.
Well, it's
energetic public, perhaps we have to say. Mildly energetic public.
I would say more than mildly. You really have to be dedicated to do it. And then.
Well, I've done it.
Pardon?
I've done it.
Good.
Not that hard.
Good. Well, on this subject, there are problems. And there are problems with the indexing, for example. The indexing, there are frequent errors in the indexing. There are misspellings. There are wrong terms. So it's not the same. And you didn't get the same document. The logical place to get the document, he wanted everything on Ioannidis, not just stuff on Ioannidis that was JFK assassination related. The logical place to request that was the CIA. That's where he went. Now, the district court has thrown out a canard saying that he was trying to sidestep copy fees. I find this rather bizarre.
I thought that was part of your case, that the copy fees were exorbitant. That adjective comes from you, not from the district court.
We mentioned that they were exorbitant, but that is not the reason that the request was made to the CIA and not to NARA. The basic reason was the records were at the CIA. What he wanted was at the CIA. And the other thing is the district court has, by putting forward that contention, has used one provision of the act which creates a statutory entitlement to waivers for newsmen doing searches and for copying costs, and use that to undermine another very fundamental provision of the FOIA, the entitlement to attorney's fees when it's in the public interest. He's using one provision. Both provisions have the same goal, to increase the amount of information made available to the public.
It's correct that the public interest is not simply the quirks and preferences of the searcher, but concern for getting information that is of public interest available to the public. I'm not sure in what respect you think the district court erred.
Well, I think it erred because first of all, it made a presumption that you couldn't get a fee waiver at NARA. No evidence of that in the record.
It didn't seem to me that was important. It seemed to me the basic thing was availability at NARA.
Well, it's not available if you can't pay the cost. And if you've got a...
I understand it's 25 cents a page now, indeed is exorbitant in the sense compared to marginal cost, but still,
look,
compared to your hourly fee, it must be quite reasonable.
We concede that point. but the fundamental position is that a newsman like Mr. Morley has a right, because it's in the public interest, to get this information without a fee being charged. Congress amended the act in 1974 to remove that roadblock because it prevented dissemination of information that the public had a right to get. The district court is trying to use it to undermine attorneys' fees. The attorney fee provision is the fundamental enforcement mechanism of the FOIA. It's the strongest thing that FOIA requesters have got going for them, is they can go into court, and if they're being stymied by obstacles thrown up by the agency, they can go to court, and they have an incentive that is given them by the attorney fee provisions to do just that.
Why don't we hear from the government, and we'll give you time back on rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
May it please the Court, Benton Peterson for the government, Your Honor. We're here today to discuss the denial of an attorney's fees position in a FOIA matter, of course. And more directly, we're here to discuss a pretty classic case of whether there was an abuse of discretion with regard to district court and the examination of the evidence that the plaintiff below put forward to support its petition for attorney's fees. There doesn't seem to be any real issue with regard to the factors that were used by the district court. So let's just look at the first one initially, is the public benefit factor in order to determine whether a petitioner is entitled to receive the attorney's fees. With regard to the public benefit, today the appellant focused in on the Career Intelligence Medal, indicating that this Career Intelligence Medal.
Let me stop you there.
Yes, sir.
I think the problem on the public benefit is, under the abuse of discretion standard, the district court misapplied the law of the circuit. Davey is the applicable law of the circuit. It's almost square. It may not be a perfect square, but it's certainly very close. The public benefit factor in Davey focuses on topic and purpose. The district court applied content of the documents, which is what you were about to argue. It's the wrong test. It was as if Davey didn't exist. District court never said a thing about the application of Davey on public benefit and appears to go with the dissent's view of the public benefit factor. That's not the law of the circuit.
The reading of the district court opinion from what I read is that there was a discussion about the topic, of course, of the public benefit as it applied to, for example, in this case.
Yeah, they absolutely talked about public benefit, but right. There's a way to apply the test. Isn't the Davey test topic and purpose?
The
court and the majority in Davey is absolutely clear that you don't focus on the content of the documents, which makes a lot of sense in the research area because district court judges and court of appeals judges are not out there doing research. We don't know how this is going to play out later on. It's presumptuous for us to make the kind of judgments the district court judge made as to whether or not this is really, really useful. It is new, and there were documents that were not previously released that were released, and the court applied the wrong test. The test is topic and purpose.
Well, first of all, Your Honor, I would say that argument wasn't made
raised Davey.
This is true. They've cited Davey. The court of the district courts in conceptualizing the first element of this case talked about Cotton, this court's opinion in Cotton that talked about the likelihood of the information adding to the public to the fund of public information. That's what the district court focused on. What would be the addition of this information to the public fund of information, as opposed to what's already out there and presented to the public? Is this information going to add to that at all? Is it something that the public, frankly, should subsidize?
Test. They've raised the legal question, the misapplication of Davey, and they've misapplied Davey. The district court never even acknowledged that part of the Davey test is topic and purpose, and that's what you're supposed to focus on, not the content of the documents. The dissent in Davey did exactly what you all are doing and what the district court did. It says it's all nonsense. In my view, this doesn't amount to anything, and the majority said that's not the correct test.
The district court's understanding was that part of the examination, in terms of an information that is received from an agency by dint of FOIA, part of the analysis has to be whether or not this information is duplicative of what's already out there.
Yeah, I understand that, and obviously it wasn't because there were unreleased documents that were released.
Right, and
so we got the answer to that, and now we should move on to topic and purpose, right?
In terms
Which
of...
they never did. It's not your fault, right. But the district court didn't do it.
I understand, Your Honor, but in terms of moving on to actually determining what should be subsidized by the public, what what kinds of information, what kinds of new information.
That's not our job to decide what should be subsidized. Well, we stay within the framework of the test.
Within the framework of Cotton, from my reading of it, Your Honor, the idea was that it wasn't any new information that is actually requested and received should receive this benefit. It's not whether it's new, therefore our inquiry ends at that point. It's new information because it was previously dealt with by the ARRB in reviewing Joy Needs' personnel file, and they determined that it wasn't JFK related. They had an opportunity to review these records and place them in the JFK archives, and they chose not to do that because they determined in an independent way in the 1990s that this information wasn't sufficiently linked to the JFK.
That isn't the point. The point is you have a researcher who's doing broadly JFK research. You can't tell a researcher how to do it.
No.
Right? So the researcher said, I want to aim at this particular person because I think they're connections. That's what researchers do. They kind of wander around. That's what Judge Williams does when he studies Russia. He wanders all over the place. He doesn't know what he's liable to come up with. That's the whole point. And it was certainly relevant. This guy was certainly relevant to the JFK period. Right. And it's the researcher's prerogative to say, I want to pursue that. It wasn't utterly irrelevant. Far from it.
In terms of this particular individual, we talked about Joannides, his relevance was identified earlier, in the 90s, in terms of...
But there's more information the researcher wanted.
Right. In connection with the JFK assassination. And that information itself was already publicly available in NARA.
We're going in circles. You're making the call. And the other thing insofar as Davey, I'll raise my question now, the other thing insofar as Davey, which as far as I can see the district court seems to ignore, is talks about the whole purpose being non-commercial. That's not the test. The whole purpose does not have to be non-commercial. They acknowledge with respect to reporters and authors.
Right.
It's quasi-commercial, I think the court said, right? Well, the district court didn't apply that.
Well, the district court took in consideration the plaintiff's admission in terms of the commercial interest and the money that he received from articles. District court took that information into account.
But it looks like the district court applied a whole purpose test.
But I do. Your Honor, I don't read it that way. I read the district court as just in accounting for the information and the evidence that the plaintiff put forward in terms of substantiating their petition for attorney's fees. It wasn't that this information was determinative of the district court's opinion. It was more along the lines of the continuum of what a district court can consider in the abuse of discretion standard was whether this information was weighty enough to actually have the district court rule in favor of the plaintiff at the district court level. And what the district court decided was that this information was important in terms of being considered, but it just didn't provide enough substantial weight of evidence to determine that this information was actually, that the information requested and that the information actually received was actually going to benefit the public in any capacity.
If you use the topic and purpose test, it is weighty.
Yeah.
As to where the information will lead, a researcher can never tell you that for sure when they're doing the research. It's certainly relevant. The thing I'm concerned about is we play this game of law of the circuit, and district court's supposed to follow the law of the circuit, and if they think they've got something that distinguishes the current case, you're smiling because you understand where I'm going. If they got something that distinguishes the current case from the most applicable case, they're supposed to play it out, and I don't see it.
Understood, Your Honor. The implicit in the name public benefit, however, is the idea that there would be a benefit to the public that's not already there. At the end of the day, there really isn't much dispute as to the documents and the information that the plaintiff below cited to all referenced mostly information that was already in the public domain. And to the extent there was new information that wasn't already in the public domain, it was considered by the appropriate body in terms of the connection to the JFK record files. All the information that was ultimately gathered was either A, publicly available already, and in that sense, does it make sense to have a public subsidy for information that's already out there?
The part that's bothering me a lot, because if this were the law, it would really be troublesome, is you say, so they released some stuff to the open files, and then they made a judgment about the rest of this material. In their view, there was no direct connection. They weren't going to let it go. Well, now you have a smart researcher who says, I see it differently. I see some connections here they haven't made. It's not the agency's call to say, no, we're not going to let you pursue that line of research unless it's totally unrelated. It's not totally unrelated. Right. I hope agencies can't get away with saying, no, you can't pursue that line of research because when we made the first cut, we didn't see the connection. That doesn't make any sense.
In a petition for fees, I believe it's the plaintiff's burden.
I think they met their burden on the topic and purpose.
Well, in terms of the topic area, mentioning the JFK assassination and mentioning Joannides, that alone is what is the patina of topicality. But if you go beyond just mentioning names, JFK assassination and Joannides, and you look at the actual documents that were actually that were requested and received, that's where you have a.
That's exactly what Davey said. Don't do. We're not supposed to assess the content that way.
In terms of what's a public benefit, I think that the government's position is that there needs to be some proof by the plaintiff to indicate that there is a nexus. And I understand the topic and understand the court's concern with the topicality of it and the purpose of it, but I think that's exactly what the district court struck at in terms of what was the actual.
Did the district court even use that term?
No, Your Honor.
Yeah, right. I don't know how they struck anything. One wondered if the district court saw it and said, I don't like that test, I'm ignoring it.
Once again, I do understand the court's concern. I would just point the court to the ultimate analysis that the district court provided in terms of what are the actual linkages. Clearly, just using names of Joannides and the JFK assassination can't be the totality of what a researcher or requester must put forward.
You know as well as I do, there's a closer nexus than that. Well, and it can't be a perfect nexus. For researchers, we tie their hands terribly. If they had to prove that they've got the winning jewel for a best-selling book by virtue of this request, that can't be the test.
In terms of the actual success in getting the documents that they received and then analyzing those documents and making the case that, in fact, this career intelligence meadow indicates X, Y, and Z. That's where their burden is. That's where the plaintiff's burden is. That's their opportunity, Your Honor, to provide the district court with sufficient evidence to actually provide the nexus. And in this case, it's not that the nexus wasn't considered. It was, I think, that was what the district court was getting at in actually analyzing the various nexuses in terms of.
Well, I wish the district court had talked in terms of the law of the circuit.
I understand, Your Honor. I see my time has expired. If the court has any further questions.
Thank you.
Yes, I'll just confine myself to one remark unless the court has any other questions.
Let me ask you.
Yeah.
Is the researcher's definition of the topic conclusive?
Is the requester's definition of the topic what?
Conclusive. Right.
Well, the court is as long
everything's
as
connected to everything else. As
pardon?
Prior has shown
the issue. The first issue is whether or not the agency is responding to a reasonable request. If the request is reasonable, the agency is obligated to respond to that request. Here, that request was very broad. It included both items that were not related to the JFK assassination and those that were. Now, with respect to
the question here, I take it, is that the topic of the JFK assassination is the topic in question, right?
Well, it's not the...
I missed that?
We have said that it is not the only question at issue. Obviously, there are questions about Ioannidis and his career, how he performed as an intelligence...
Is anyone least bit interested in that except
the
Kennedy assassination?
My client is writing a book on Ioannidis. We've said in the brief that it will... Pardon?
Is he expecting to write a book on Ioannidis that makes no mention of the Kennedy assassination?
No, but he's also expecting to write a book that will include things that have nothing to do with the Kennedy assassination.
Oh, he enriches a book.
So that's why he made the request that way. Now, let me get back to the point that I wanted to make very strongly, is that what was not at NARA was the Career Intelligence Medal citation. That was not at NARA.
You're pinning a lot on that one page.
No, there are many other things in addition to that.
That's
one
the best because you've referred to it repeatedly, right?
I think it's critical. It's the simplest, easy way to get at the heart of the case. But there are other things that are important. There were fitness reports that were released. There were what we refer to as travel records, which, regardless of whether or not they established travel by Ioannidis to New Orleans, they establish a new connection to New Orleans that was not known before, and that will be of great interest to researchers. So, yes, there's a great deal of that. There is also the fact that we now know that the CIA has denied in its entirety 295 documents, entirely denied. And if you look at those, that is an important piece of information that was not had before. Nobody knew what the CIA had. Now we know there are 295 documents, and because there's a Vaughan index of each of those documents, we have a description of those documents. That's new information. It's important information, even though it was denied information. So, no, the case does not rest entirely on the Career Intelligence Medal. That's all I have to say, Your Honor.
Okay. Thank you. The case is submitted.
Thank you.